Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
One of our Sports History Network sponsors, Keith Avalon of Play Classic Games, visits the Pigpen to tell us all about his exciting game called Second Season Pro Football, and another one, his Fury Football, more futuristic game. In our continual search to find the gridiron-inspired hobbies, games, and collections, it's all coming up from Keith in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And you've probably heard the ads that many of us involved in Sports History Network have been airing lately on Play Games. That's Play with two A's. They are a great sponsor, and we're glad to have them here. But what do they do at Play? Well, quite frankly, we're going to find out in just a moment, and it fits right into what we do here on Pigskin Dispatch on Saturdays. Let's talk about football-inspired games, hobbies, and collection. So to find out more about Play Games, we have their founder, Keith Avalon. Keith, welcome to the Pigpen.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, this is an intriguing site that you have. It's at play.com, I believe, and you also have playclassic.com. That's Play with two A's. Maybe you could explain to us a little bit about what your business does.
Well, play.com started about 20 years ago as a sports simulation game site. And in the last couple of years, my son graduated college and just joined the business, and he has more of an interest in non-sports games. So we'll begin talking about, where we might be headed with the company. And long story short, play.com is now sort of a hub site. We put the sports games on a new site called playclassic.com. That's where all the original sports simulation board games went. And then we have a second site, which is called playnow.com, where we have the non-sports and non-simulation sport games. So they're two different, completely different kinds of games. And the play.com hub, which at one point was the site, is now sort of the hub site that directs you to one of those two places. So Play Classic is where you'll find Second Season Football, which is probably more in line with what your listeners are used to hearing about, you know, classic professional football. Although we do have a football game on Play Now, which is what we call an alt sport strategy game. It's like a very, very condensed version of football. It's like football of the future, where all the downtime has been stripped out, and it's just like the essence of football. And it's a strategy game, but it also has simulation elements. But you're simulating like a future sport, a future brand of football. So,
wow, that sounds pretty cool too. I'm interested in talking about both of those, if you don't mind.
Happy to do so. Where do you want to start?
Well, I guess what was your inspiration for the Play Games?
Well, I grew up playing sports simulation games. When I was a kid, this is way back in the, I'm really dating myself, but I grew up in the 1970s. And at that time, there was no internet. There was no ESPN. Football season ended after the Super Bowl. It was over until training camp started up in July. And, I've often talked about how what a thrill it was when the college all-star game would come on TV in the middle of summer, because that meant that football season was back, because it was like completely, there was nothing happening in football from, January to July. So those of us that love football, wanted a way to preserve it and keep it going. And as I said, with no ESPN and with no NFL network, none of that, we turned to these sports simulation games, these football simulation games. There's Stratomatic and Appo were the two big ones. But there were a number of different other football board games of that era. So me and my best friend, my best friend lived on a dairy farm. I grew up in Wisconsin. And my best friend lived on a dairy farm, and he and I were two, you know, insatiable football fans. And of course, we were also both very broke. So we decided we were going to get a game, but we didn't have enough money to get the game on our own. So we teamed up. And so we spent, I'd say about 6 weeks sending away for literature. And we would sit down and decide which game we wanted. We finally settled on buying the APA pro football game. And so we sent away for it. We pooled our money. I think it took me like at least a month to save. At that time, it was $18 for the game, postage paid. And I slaved like crazy. I remember I was ironing clothes. My mom would pay me like a quarter for every shirt that I ironed it, or a dime for, you know, towels or something like that. Anyway, I managed to get my $9 together before he did. Eventually, he got his $9 and we sent away for the game. And then he got the AFC teams and some of the charts. And I got the NFC teams and some of the charts. And then we made, you know, we copied hand, like typewritten copies of the charts that we didn't have. So that was my introduction to sports board game football. And we played that game just incessantly. We played it for years. We got a number of kids in our neighborhood involved in playing it. And I mean, we literally played 25 seasons of our league. We drafted, we used players from the game. We started out with kind of scrub players from the extra cards and drafted our teams, and we eventually incorporated other players. But we played like season after. Here's what we do. We go out to Don was my friend. We'd go out to his farm. We'd all help with the chores. It'd be like eight of us. You know, we'd all help with the chores, and we'd go to his grandfather's house. His grandfather was totally deaf, so, you know, he couldn't hear anything. We'd make all this racket, and his grandfather would sleep like a log, you know. And we would we'd do the chores. We'd go, and we'd play football all night long. We'd have those big liters of Coke, and we'd be eating the Geno's pizzas, you know, and we'd stay up literally all night playing a full season. And then we would draft for the next season, you know. And so we play this game just incessantly. So that was my introduction to sports, you know, board games, to football board games. The more we played it, Apple football, you know, we began to tinker around with it, make our own changes. There were certain things about the game that we didn't like, or we didn't think were very realistic, or we thought we could do better. And, over time, it began to kind of be its own game. And I know there was at some point where I just felt like, you know what, I'm just going to make my own game. And that's kind of where it started.
Wow. Very interesting. You know, I grew up in about the same era, a child of the 70s, and shared many of the same story, except I didn't make my own game off of that. But so I lived what you went through. So I understand. And I'm sure most of our listeners are in that same mold too, that understand that the days before the internet and computerized games and everything. Okay. So what did you do in your game and your creation that made it different? You said there were some things you didn't like about the reality of the app and the Stratomatic. What's different in your games?
Well, let me preface it by saying, you know, I don't want to say anything disparaging about anybody that's made a sports game, because it's tough to do. It's a real challenge. So I have respect and admiration for anybody that's made a sports simulation game, because they're really difficult to do. The things that we specifically like, well, really, I think the first thing we noticed playing Apple football was that, I don't know if you ever played it. I'll try to explain it. The Apple football has like individual cards for the players, and the quarterbacks, you know, when you run a pass play, you roll dice and you look on the quarterback's card. And let's say you're playing Bobby Douglas from the 1969 Bears or whatever, he gets sacked a bunch. Well, those sacks results will be from Bobby Douglas's card. You'll roll the dice. You look at his card, you'll get sacked. So the deal was, if you traded, let's say you wanted to trade Bobby Douglas to like the Dolphins, which had a great offensive line. Well, he would still get sacked a bunch because all those numbers, you know, go along with him. And so that was something we didn't like. So we made some adjustments to that. We also, some of the things that I did differently was felt like offensive linemen were undervalued in professional football board games. Some of the non-skill positions were kind of undervalued. Most of the time, it's the quarterbacks and the running backs and the receivers who kind of get all the love. And I felt like, you know, a good offensive, there's a reason why, you know, the Packers picked Tony Mandarich for their first round draft choice, an offensive tackle. There's a reason why offensive tackles are often chosen in the first round ahead of, you know, skill position players. And that's because they have impact. So I wanted to make sure that my game reflected that. A lot of football games will sort of gloss over the offensive line and really the defensive line too, by by giving them like an index, like an A or a B. It's like they've got a B grade offensive line, and that will, maybe affect the outcome somewhat. Instead of getting a 4 yard gain, if you've got a good offensive line, you might get a 6 yard gain. If you've got a poor offensive line, you might only get a 2 yard gain out of it. But my feeling was that you know, wasn't really impactful. Oftentimes, if it's second and 10 and you get 2 yards instead of 4 yards, well, you know, it's still third and six or third and eight. It's not, you know, there's not that big of a difference. So that's the kind of thing that I wanted to address with second season, where if a great offensive lineman can make a great play, where instead of like adding 2 yards to the run gain, it might blow the hole open and the runner goes for the touchdown, you know, or he holds his pass block long enough for the quarterback to be able to find the receiver in the end zone for the touchdown, you know, or a long game.
So you gave the game players the advantage of sort of, they want to build their team through the trenches, like a lot of NFL teams do and college teams. So that does bring a bit of reality to it. So that's much appreciated, I'm sure. So how has the game evolved? And you said it's like a 20-year development of this game. How has the game evolved through twists and turns since then?
Well, it really hasn't done much. It's pretty much the same game that it was in 1986. That's essentially when I finished it, was the late 80s. And it's essentially the same game. I mean, you know, not much has changed since then. But the period between, say, 1979 and 1986, there were quite a few changes. I mean, it would probably be kind of boring to detail them all. But one of the things, you know, just referencing back what I just said, I discovered that's kind of where I discovered, you know, giving a guy an extra couple of yards because the offensive tackle made a great block, it really doesn't, you know, most of the time it's not really impactful. And that's where I kind of decided I needed to do something more there. And also I originally had the players rated as APA rates them from 1 to 5, where 5 was great and 1 was poor. And you had the gradients in between, but I discovered that essentially what it comes down to is, you know, the player that makes the player, he doesn't, you know, it's either a success or a failure. And so I reduced the rating scheme to superior, average, and deficient. So players are rated for superior, average, or deficient in pass or run. And there are some modifiers to it, which depending on what side of the field you're on, stage the game is in, those will sometimes be modified, but it will always go from, like, you know, deficient to average or superior to average, or, you know, it'll bounce around between those three categories, because essentially my feeling is a play is either, you know, successful or it's not. So reducing the ratings range from, you know, say 5 or 7 levels down to really just 3 was also a really important development. And that's something that came along in that 7 year period between 79 and 86.
Okay. Now, when you say the game hasn't changed much since 86, you're putting new players in and new players cards, I assume.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, the core game itself, you know, so that's really one of the great things about a sports simulation board games is you can, you know, you get the game, and then each season you just get updated players or new vintage seasons, but it's the same core game. You're just plugging in different players. So, you know, you could play out the 2020 season. So, or that we released the 1969 season last year. So you get, you know, there are new seasons available, which allow you to experience other eras of football, but the game itself is the same.
Okay. So,
I mean, the charts basically, I mean, we've upped our game quite a bit in the last couple of years in terms of product quality. We've improved our boxes. We've improved our components. So the components are better now, but the game itself, the charts, the dice rolls are essentially the same now as they were in 1986.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Now, how does somebody go about if they have the game? Let's say somebody bought the game back in the late 80s. They've had it sitting in the closet and they say, oh, you know, I forgot I had that game. I want to get maybe the next generation, the kids or the grandkids involved in that. And they want to upgrade their game. How would somebody go about doing that?
Well, you could buy a new game. You wouldn't, but the, you know, the bottom line is you really don't need to upgrade. You could continue to play with your old game. You know, we the game was first published in, you know, officially in 1999. And if you've got one of the first versions of Second Season, you can still use that version with the current teams. The 2020 season that we just put out, you know, earlier this year, you know, there's really no reason except for aesthetics. I mean, if you'd like to have nicer components or, you know, better.
I guess let me rephrase my question. If somebody wanted to get the updated game cards to today's players, how would one go about doing that?
Oh, you just go to the website, go to playclassic.com or go to play.com and click on the Second Season button. And that'll take you to the Second Season page of playclassic.com and click the shop link. And then there's all the seasons that we have, you know, listed there, and you can just choose whichever season you want. Choose the 2020 season. They're available digitally. They're also available in printed form. And yeah, you can just get it that way.
Oh, so you can get it instantly, even digitally. Oh, nice. Very nice. Okay. So now you were referring earlier, you have this futuristic football game. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, what it's called and what it's about.
Would love to. It's called Fury Football. And its development kind of goes back to around the year 2000. A friend of mine and a fellow game designer, Gary Brown, we both lived in Dallas at the time. And, you know, we liked Second Season. We both played Second Season. And but you know, a full game of football, no matter what football simulation you're using, is going to, you know, be an hour and a half time commitment. And, you know, a lot of times we didn't have an hour and a half to play. I had kids, you know. And he had a young daughter as well. And so we kind of had this challenge between us to, you know, create a faster playing football game. And mine was Fury Football, and it works. How do I describe it? So you have six players instead of 11. Have a field that is, 10 zones. There's a midfield and there's 10 zones. We call them yards, but they're really not yards. There's like 10, I'll call them yards, 10 parsecs, I guess, if we're using Star Trek terms, 10, okay. Measurement segments, to the goal line. And essentially you've got to gain that many segments in order to score the touchdown. And you have a pass, you can try a pass play or a run play, or you can audible. And then the defensive settings, you get a fury defense, which is kind of like a blitzing defense where the defense goes crazy, and you get a pass and a run defense. And you also have a safe defense. And, essentially it's like football in that you are calling pass and run plays. You're trying to score a touchdown. The difference is that, each team gets four possessions, and you've got to score in those basically four downs. You get four downs to score. And then if you do score, you get to convert, but instead of it being like the NFL where you have you can kick for one or run for two, you can choose to go for as many points as you want by choosing the yard line that you're going to convert from. So if you want to go back to the 6-yard line, you get a 6-point conversion. If you want to go back, you can go back to the 10-yard line, get a 10-point conversion. You score more points on your conversion than you did on your touchdown. And then if you convert, you get to convert again. You get to keep converting until you are stopped. So you can have a low scoring game if it's a defensive battle of, you know, 6-0 or 3-0 even. We also see some crazy high scoring games too if you get into a conversion roll. So it adds a lot of strategy and a lot of urgency because every play is really important. Because each team is basically getting to run 16 plays total. So a game takes about 15 minutes to play. Yet you get this sense of really watching the narrative unfold. And the players are individually rated. It's not just a generic game. There are individual players, which you choose your starting lineups, and some players are good at some things and bad at others. So you get to kind of customize your team the way you want it. There are stock teams that we offer that are, you know, assigned to various cities with various players. We just released a Fury Football Recharged set this year where it gives you some new rookies. It gives you some, we don't call them free agents, we call them mercenaries. So you can, you can purchase mercenaries to beef up your team. And so that's the way Fury Football works. It's a very fast playing game. There's a lot of thinking, a lot of strategy, but it plays very fast. It's very, very condensed form of football.
I mean, it sounds very intriguing. It's one of those games where if you're get on the lopsided score and you're on the downside of it, you always have an opportunity to come back, it sounds like, if you can keep trying to convert. So,
yes, absolutely. That is one of the great things about it. You're never really out of it. You know, you can always string together some conversions. And it makes for some interesting decision-making. You know, like if you're down, I remember a game I was playing against a friend of mine where I was down, it was 36-10. And I scored a touchdown to make it 36-16. And then I went for a 10-point conversion and made it. And it was 36-26. And then I went for another 10-point conversion and made it again. And I went for an 11-point conversion and won the game 37-36. It's like, you know, you're never really out of it in Fury football.
Wow, that sounds very exciting. I'm sure maybe folks from the XFL or somebody will be paying attention to you and want to buy your rules off you.
It is a great rule set. It really is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never heard of that before. That's very interesting. Now, are the game cards, are they similar to your other game, or are they totally different and totally unique to the Fury football?
Fury football is its own creation. It's completely unique. So, yeah, there's no commonality between the two, except for it is football and you're passing or running and, you know, playing offense and defense.
Okay. But you're rolling the dice and things like that. So it's similar mechanism, but totally different cards and players. Is that what I'm
Well, all right. So second season, the offensive coach chooses his play. The defensive coach chooses his setting. You'll roll the dice and you'll look it up in the game book, which will be broken down by each play versus each defense. You'll read the result. And it will call into question a particular player. It'll say, is the left tackle a superior pass blocker? If he is, you know, you just got a long, you know, the quarterback, it'll spell this all out for you. It'll say, you know, if your left tackle is a superior pass blocker, the quarterback has time to find the wide open receiver for a medium game. If he's not superior, though, quarterback is hurried and the pass is thrown away incomplete. So it'll give you that narrative. And it's based on a number of factors based on the offensive play you called, the defensive setting, and the player the key player involved on the play. Fury football is different in that it's more of a strategy game. It's more of a game and less of a simulation. So in Fury football, I'll choose my offensive play. You'll choose your defensive setting. We will then I'll roll a D20 and it will give us it will either direct us to a player or it will give us a result based on the offense versus defense interface. And then from there, if it's a gain, it'll tell you how many dice you roll and move that many spaces. So if it's a two dice gain, you roll two dice. If you roll a seven, you'll move seven spaces, but you might roll only two, you know, and only move two spaces. So it's more of a game and less of a simulation, but there are still some simulation elements to it.
Oh, okay. Very, very interesting. Thank you for the distinction between the two. Once again, I want you to let us know where folks can go to get either of these games or both of them. Christmas is right around the corner here. Maybe we have some listeners who would like to get their hands on it.
Yeah, I think they make really great Christmas gifts. It's just go to play. It's easy to find. Play.com, PLAAY, play with two A's, play.com. You can also Google second season football and you'll find us that way as well. But, yeah, we're pretty easy to find. And then when you get to play.com, just click on either Fury Football or second season.
Very interesting indeed. And I noticed that as I'm preparing for this interview, you have a very nice YouTube channel too. Is some of the football games covered by the YouTube channel as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got we stream twice a week usually. You know, we take breaks every once in a while. But generally, we stream on Mondays and Thursdays. And we try to cover the gamut. You know, we try to give each of our games a little love. Last two nights we've been doing wrestling. We have a professional wrestling game and we are in the middle of, kicking guys out of the Federation. it's called the Commissioner's Edict series where the commissioner says, yeah, I'm sick and tired of you. Get out of here. Or, you know, if you want your job, you're going to have to wrestle for it. You got to beat this guy in order to stay in the Federation, win or get out. So we've been doing that last couple of streams, but we have a lot of recent streams on football. Just a matter of just going to the YouTube channel and picking the one you want to watch. We have an express version of second season, which has become really popular. That's basically distills the game down into chunks of plays rather than individual plays. You know, when you're playing a football game, there are typically 120 to 130 scrimmage plays called. You know, each team's going to call between 60 and 70 offensive plays. And then that's not including the kicks and the field goals and the punts and the returns and all that stuff. So there's actually quite a bit of things that need to be resolved when you're playing a football board game. So the Second Season Express, we introduced that a couple of years ago, and it distills things down to chunks of play. So you'll call, instead of calling a run play, you'll call it a run sequence, which was mostly run based, but might have a pass mixed in there as well. Chunks of 3-4 plays, and it'll move the ball up in, rather than by individual yards, it'll move it up by zones. But it uses the same teams. You can use the teams are interchangeable. So at any point, if it's a really interesting game and it's like the last 5 minutes, you can switch to full play and go back to calling each individual play. So we have the express version and the full play version, and both of them are on playclassic.com. Fury football's in play now. I was going to say, and there are many YouTube videos which cover the express game. If you want to see the full play game in action, oftentimes you just flip to the end of it and you'll see the full play game. We'll have switched to full play at that point. That allows you to play a full football game in, 30, 40 minutes.
Well, you certainly have a wide gamut of play for almost anybody that wants to play the games of the sports, and especially football. You have a bunch of different variations of it. So we appreciate you coming on, tell us about it. And we appreciate you sponsoring us on Sports History Network. And folks, we will have links both to their YouTube channel and the site where you can buy the games on Pigskin Dispatch and in the show notes for this podcast. So Keith Avalon, thank you once again for helping us out today and explaining your great games that you have at play.com.
Darren, thanks for having us. Always happy to help out, and hope you have a great afternoon.
This podcast is sponsored by Play Classic Sports Simulation Board Games, spelled with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y. Realistic board game recreations of professional football, hockey, baseball, NASCAR, golf, and more. They cover 9 sports in all, with a 10th, basketball, coming in 2022. You can relive great sessions of the past, create what-if matchups from different eras, and much more. It's fun. So if you're into sports history, you should check them out. That's Play with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y, classic.com. And don't forget to use the code SHN at checkout and get 10% off your first order.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. is found right here on the Sports History Network.